So yeah, I was watching with the wife last night. We watched that documentary slash movie called The Coming Convergence. And oh me, oh my, brethren, you've got to see this film, The Coming Convergence. And extremely well done, and absolutely on the mark. As far as scripturally speaking goes, doctrinally wise, very good for those who don't know much about prophecy. Very simplistic, very well laid out, very easy to understand. But the film goes through showing exactly how everything in this world is now converging toward the coming of the end. So, praise the Lord. And it was on the Daystar Network. It's a quote unquote Christian network television channel, which we don't watch. But my sister called me and told me they were going to air that last night, so we put it on. And boy, it was really it's so good. I'd like to show it to the church one of these Sunday evenings. I'd like to get all together and show this film because, folks, there's not much time. The Lord is coming back, as you know. Let's stand for a final hymn prior to the message today. I'm so glad, hymn number 67. I'm so glad that our Lord Jesus paid it all. We'll sing the first, second, and fourth. First, second, and fourth. Hymn 67, people.
I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray, find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all, all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow.
Yeah. On the second.
Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper's spots and melt the heart of soul. Jesus paid it all, all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow.
Four.
And when before the throne I stand in him complete, Jesus died my soul to save, my lips shall still repeat, Jesus paid it all, all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. He washed it white as snow.
Praise be to God, people. Great singing today. Please be seated. And I can't help but notice our newest church member in the front pew here. She is the cutest thing ever. Not just because she's my granddaughter, but little Delilah. She's just 3 weeks old, and she's in church already. Once again, she wants to get baptized. No, no, no. But she is such a darling. We are so thankful to the Lord Jesus Christ for giving us this new baby in the church. My daughter's daughter, Delilah Oliver. Oh, wow. What a blessing she is. She's full of the joy of the Lord already. You can see Grandma having a time over there with her, just enjoying the baby. Well, glory to God, folks. Let's grab our Bibles at this time. We'll get right to our Sunday message. I'd ask you to open up with me to the book of Romans. We'll sing again afterward, of course. But let's get over to the book of Romans and grab chapter 13 with me. Folks, as I was praying yesterday, asking the Lord what to bring today, boy, he led me to a message that is really, really due for the Church of Jesus Christ today. And oh, how we need to take heed to the Word of God here in Romans chapter 13. Folks, I'm going to begin reading in verse number 11, but I want to ask a question before I read. How many of you knows today that we're closer to the Lord's coming, the second advent, beginning with the rapture of the church, than when we first believed? That everybody's hand is up. Oh, yeah. Everybody who's saved knows that Jesus Christ train is running on time, not going to be late, not going to be early. He'll come when he says, and he will take us out of this sin-sick world. But in the meantime, folks, I'm afraid that I'm seeing within Christendom, quote-unquote, today, there is a certain spiritual lethargy setting in. It's scary. Because when the people of God begin to falter and fail and faint, we know that the world's in big trouble. Folks, you may be the only light that lost soul you work with or associated with ever sees concerning the gospel of Jesus Christ. Keep that in mind as we preach today on the wake-up call. The wake-up call. Look with me in Romans chapter 13. We'll stand for the reading of God's holy word in awe and respect of it. Verse 11 we read, "And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us, therefore, cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh, to fulfill the lusts thereof." Beloved, I want to preach today on the wake-up call. The wake-up call. Father in heaven, we thank you today for the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, our rock. Lord, how we thank you that he is the shelter in the time of the storm. Lord, how we thank you that he is the comfort and joy of our hearts. And we thank you, Lord, that he's coming for his bride quickly. Lord, as we look out upon the world today, and we see the church compromising, we see the church becoming even a part of the world in many, many ways, oh God. We see the darkness growing, the light growing dim. Oh God, you're calling out today in a grand wake-up call to the Church of Jesus Christ. Lord, you said we are the light of the world. And you said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Oh Lord, we need to let it shine like never before in these days of gross darkness. I'd ask you to bless your word today, Father. I'd ask you by your Holy Spirit to speak to hearts around this world. Oh God, that you'd shake and stir us out of our spiritual laziness, out of our slumber, and wake us up to the task that is ahead. Oh Lord, we've got a great commission to fulfill. And without thee, without thy grace and spirit and strength, we can do nothing. We call upon thy name today, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Beloved, I want you to notice in our text today a number of things. Church, if there was ever a time in the history of the church age, the age of grace, that God's people need to wake up and get busy for God, that time is now. Listen to me, brethren. We need to wake up today because the enemy is upon us.
We need to wake up today because the world out there is perishing in their sins. We need to wake up today because of the lethargy that seems to have set in on God's people. We need to wake up because of the growing darkness of spiritual death that permeates our society today. Listen to me, folks. America today is in a moral free fall. The LGBTQ agenda is growing to unspeakable proportions. 60 million babies have been murdered in America by abortion, and the bloodshed still flows. Truth and honesty no longer matter in politics. The cults and the occult are expanding astronomically. The New Age movement is even now infecting our churches with yoga and the like. My dear brothers and sisters, today, the Holy Spirit, through Paul's pen, is crying out to the church of God to wake up, wake up, wake up before it's too late. I say unto you today, church, there's no time for the shenanigans of sin in our lives. There's no time for lukewarmness in our lives. There's no time for having one foot in the church, the one in the world just teetering and tottering on the fence. It's high time, Paul says, for God's people to wake up and get busy in the harvest fields. They're white already under harvest because we're out of time, church. We are literally out of time. I want to give you three particular things from our text today, beloved, concerning the wake-up call, and I'll be done. First of all, I want us to notice the wake-up call itself. Notice firstly the wake-up call itself found in verse 11. And that, knowing the time. Do you know what time it is, church? Oh me, oh my, how we need to get with it. Last night we had to we had the time change, setting our clocks forward, spring forward 1 hour. So today as I look at my watch, it's really, it would be an hour earlier because we changed the time. But Paul says, knowing the time. Some of you don't know what time it is because you're late for church. Knowing the time that now, it is high time to what? Awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. And notice in verse 11 that our salvation. Let me ask you a question, church. Do you have salvation already? Absolutely. Everybody's hand is up. Now, you already have salvation. So when Paul says our salvation is nearer than when we believed, it's talking about a person, the Lord, the second person of the Godhead who is coming for us. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Notice the wake-up call itself. Now, folks, I see three things concerning the wake-up call that demand our attention here. First, he says we need to wake up because it's late in the age of grace. Look at verse 12. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. He likens the church age of grace unto a man who is sleeping in his bed at night. And the dawn is just about to break. The sun is coming up. You know what? That fella's out of time for sleep. It's time to wake up and get out of that bed. And this is exactly what we need to understand, folks. First thing concerning the wake-up call is that it's very late in the age of grace. Now, folks, listen. Paul is attempting here to awaken God's people due to the fact that the age of grace, the church age, is about to close. The rapture is about to take place, and there are countless millions, actually billions, of unsaved souls on planet Earth. Do you realize how close, beloved, we are today to the second advent? We are so close. I mean, it is coming. It is imminent. We may not finish this service before that trumpet blows and we're raptured out. There's no time to waste. Look with me now at verse 12 again. Notice the word spent. The night, likened unto the age of grace, is far spent. That means, now listen, the Greek word for spent is prokopto. Prokopto literally means to lengthen out by hammering. You understand what this indicates, beloved? It's like a silversmith forcing his object into a longer shape by heating it and hammering it. So he says, the night is far spent. See, the Lord is extending the days of grace, the age of grace. Why? He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Go with me to 1 Corinthians. Flip forward to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Folks, it is so far spent, it's not even funny. We have no time. Now look at this, 1 Corinthians 15, the resurrection chapter, right? It also has something else in it concerning resurrection. Look at verse 34. Verse 34. What's the first word? Awake to righteousness and sin not. Why, Paul? For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Folks, listen to me. Paul is here stating that the body of Christ needs to wake up and get busy. Why? He tells you right in the middle of the verse, for many have not the knowledge of God. You may be their only link to heaven, folks. Scary thought. You need to be alert and active in the Lord's service. Church, we're really late in this age of grace. But secondly, concerning the wake-up call itself. Observe that we need to wake up not only because it's late in the age, but we need to wake up because it's late in our lives. It's late in your life. I don't care how old you are. Look at verse 11. Back to our text, Romans 13, 11. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. Why, Paul? For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. You know what Paul is saying here in verse 11? He's saying you are that much closer to heaven than you were when you got born again. Oh yeah, you are so close to going to glory, it's not even funny. Folks, listen to me. The simple fact is that if the Lord tarries, we'll be holding some of your funerals, maybe even mine. That means that you only have a certain number of days to serve God, and that's it. You're done. You're going to glory. How we need to make those days count. James chapter 4. Look with me quickly. Hold your place. I'm coming back. Just after Hebrews to James chapter 4. In James chapter 4, look at this verse in verse 13. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. We're going to get rich. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. Notice in verse 14 that Paul likens your entire life on earth to a little puff of smoke, a little vapor that appears for a very split second and then vanishes away. He's saying you don't have much time. Oh, folks, we need to receive the wake-up call itself because it's late in the age of grace. Secondly, because it's late in our own lives. But thirdly, we need to receive the wake-up call because it's late in the day of opportunity. Look at verse number 11. Again, this is Romans 13, verse 11. He says, and that knowing the time, something you got to know, that the world does not know, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Now, listen carefully, church. You and I only have a short window of opportunity when it comes to winning souls to Jesus Christ. That window is closing. The Lord himself says, go with me to John chapter 9. Hold your place again, we're coming back. In John chapter 9, we have a fascinating passage of scripture concerning the blind man, who is a type of the lost sinner, spiritually blind. Jesus opens his eyes. Now watch what he says. John 9. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. Now let me ask you a question, church. Could that blind man see Jesus? Nope. Of course not. He was blind. But Jesus saw him. Hello. Those lost people out there in your life, they can't see Jesus. But Jesus sees them. Look at it. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Notice here in verse 4 that the Lord Jesus himself states clearly that the night is coming quickly, brethren, when no man worketh, when no man witnesseth, when no man serveth the Lord. So first of all, we need to wake up because of the wake-up call itself. But secondly this morning, I want us to observe three things we need to do concerning the wake-up call. Three things we must do. First, we need to wake up spiritually. Go back to Romans chapter 13. We need to first wake up spiritually. Look at verse 11 again. And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. Beloved, the Bible speaks repeatedly concerning the walk of the believer. That is, that we must live our lives in a state of spiritual sobriety, being circumspect, aware, and alert of what is going on in the spirit realm. Not walking in darkness, that is a state of spiritual slumber. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Look at this passage in 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Fascinating concerning the life of the believer, the born-again, redeemed, saved individual. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. But of the times and seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. What time? What season? The second coming. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Time out, church. As a thief in the night? A thief in the night is not known, is not discovered. He comes under cover of darkness. That's how the Lord's coming will be. The world is unaware that he's coming. For when they, lost people, shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. You know that. You know that every lost person in your life is going to suffer the wrath of God during Daniel's 70th week under the Antichrist. You know that. You have a responsibility to warn them. But ye, look at the but in verse 4. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. You've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Therefore, look at the therefore, in verse, powerful therefore, in verse 6. What a hinge. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Why, Paul? For they that sleep, spiritually, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. Why, Paul? For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. He look at, folks, the first thing we need to do concerning the wake-up call is to wake up spiritually. But secondly, something else we need to do to answer the wake-up call. We need to clean up spiritually. We need to not only wake up spiritually, secondly, we need to clean up spiritually. Back to our text. Look at verse 12. Don't miss this. Verse 12. He says, "The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us, therefore, cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light." Look at it. 13. "Let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy." He's saying, clean up your act, beloved. Spiritually, get sanctified. Now observe the three graphic couplings found in these two verses, particularly verse 13. Rioting and drunkenness. Chambering and wantonness. We're going to talk about those in a minute. Strife and envy. Now, why are these coupled together? Beloved, listen carefully. The reason that Paul couples these evil activities together is simple. It's because they always tend to go hand in hand. Where you find the one, you're sure to find the other. And notice what we are to do with them. Verse 12. Look what he says. "The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness." See how Paul gives us the negative first? He says, first, we need to throw some things away like filthy rags. Put off rioting and drunkenness. Put off chambering and wantonness. Put off strife and envy. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 13. I love this verse. In Hebrews chapter 13, Hebrews 13, the last chapter of Hebrews. Wow, we could live here. Look at this, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4. "Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge." Folks, listen to me. This chambering and wantonness, I'm going to tell you what that means in just a second. But first, go to Jeremiah chapter 6. Jeremiah chapter 6. Look at this. No new thing under the sun. It was occurring in Jeremiah's day in the Old Testament as well. Verse 15, speaking about the false preachers telling God's people they'll be just fine without repenting. 14, "They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, 'Peace, peace,' when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. They had no shame for their sin. Therefore they shall fall among them that fall at the time that I visit them. They shall be cast down, saith the Lord." Isaiah 13. Isaiah 13. Folks, this is going to happen to so many people in this world. It is not funny. In Isaiah 13, look with me. Oh, they think sin is so funny. Ha ha ha. Live it up. Party. Get all the gusto you can. No, that's not what God says. Isaiah 13, look at verse 9. Verse 9. "Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel, both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it." What a warning we have in verse 9 concerning the second coming of Christ. Folks, he's not coming to die on a cross. He's coming to judge the world. And he will do so in divine judgment like the world has never seen for 7 years. Now, the first four of these, back to our text, Romans 13. The first four of these couplings are self-explanatory. Look at them. Verse 13. Rioting and drunkenness, that's easy enough to understand. He says strife and envy, that's easy enough to understand. But the middle two, chambering and wantonness, what does that mean? Listen to me. Chambering is koite, the Greek word used for the bed of fornication. That's chambering. Chambering is sexual sin of any type. Homosexual, heterosexual, adultery, fornication, you name it. It's sexual sin, chambering. And then the word wantonness. This is aselgia. It literally means unbridled lust. lasciviousness, licentiousness, shamelessness. That's wantonness. So he tells us to put off all these couplings. Put them away from you with all speed. But thirdly, that there's a third thing we need to do concerning the wake-up call. Not only do we need to wake up spiritually, not only do we need to clean up spiritually, but thirdly, he says we need to dress up spiritually. Dress up spiritually. Look at verse 12 again. He says, the night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. 14. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, notice here that in verse 12 and verse 14, we're told what we are to do. First the negative, then the positive. Oh, I love how Paul operates by the Holy Ghost here. He says we need to dress up spiritually. Listen, in verse 14, the key word is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice that? Paul says, put ye on Jesus Christ as your Lord. Put him on as master for your direction. Put him on as Savior for your deliverance. Put him on as Messiah for dominion. Ephesians chapter 4. I'm so thankful that the Bible makes it clear what we are to put on. You know, there's a lot of Christians walking around naked today. Oh, they're in church. There's millions upon millions of Christians that are naked, undressed in church today. What? Oh, yeah. Look at this. I want to show you that. Ephesians chapter 4. Why would a Christian go out of his home undressed? That's a good question. But how many do just that? Look at in chapter 4 of Ephesians. Go with me to verse 22. 22. That ye put, Christian, ye put off concerning the former conversation, your old lifestyle, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. Yeah, it is. Let me ask you a quick time out, church. Do you hate your flesh? My hand is up. I hate this filthy, sinful body of flesh. I hate it. I despise it. And I can't wait for it to be glorified. Sinless perfection forever. That's what the Lord's going to do with this body. He's going to give me a new one that can't sin. Oh, my granddaughter. Look at verse 21. I'm sorry, verse 22. That ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. What's that true holiness mean? It means you're not faking it. You're not trying to impress a girl. You're not just going through the motions, deceiving your spouse, but you mean it. You're sincere. You love Jesus Christ in your heart of hearts. Listen, folks, we need to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Go to Colossians. Flip ahead. Two books. You'll be in Colossians. And go with me to chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. See it one more time before we move on. Colossians 3, verse number 8. But now that you're saved, ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communications out of your mouth. You know what I really irks me? To hear a Christian using four-letter words. What's with that? Somebody want to inform me how can... I don't understand some things. Verse 9. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, that's Christ in you, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all, and what? In all. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. He's in you. Put on, verse 12, don't miss this. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, the elect bride, not the elect nation, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. That Greek word charity, it's love in the umph degree. It's the strongest form of love. It's unconditional. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you're called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ, here it is, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Folks, listen to me. Paul gives us the negative first. Put off some things. But he gives us the positive. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. I love it. Now, we've seen first that we need to receive the wake-up call. Secondly, we saw three things we need to do. But finally, today, and I'll be done. Thirdly, notice the one thing that we must not do. Go back to our text in Romans 13. Look with me at verse 14. One thing we must not do. Verse 14. I saw a preacher going back about 25 years now. I was in New York at the time in Bible seminary. And this preacher, we just visited this Baptist church one Sunday just for the kick of it, you know. And this preacher got up and he was preaching expositionally, verse by verse, through the book of Romans. And he happened to be on Romans chapter 13, verse 12 through 14 that day. You know what that rascal did? My wife was there, she'll tell you, she's my eyewitness. That rascal started in verse 12, he finished in verse 13. He never quoted verse 14. You know what I found out about that preacher? That preacher was having sexual relations with multiple women in that congregation, and the church knew it. Let me show you why he never went near verse 14. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. He didn't like that verse, so he didn't even teach on it. Wow! You might as well take out your spiritual pair of scissors right now, buddy, and just chop up your Bible. Just cut out whatever doesn't fit your lifestyle, because that's exactly what you're doing. Get out of the ministry. Look at this. Make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. One thing we must not do. Make no provision. Now, wait a minute. How can a Christian make provision for the flesh? Oh, it's easy. If you have a problem with alcohol, you don't want to go into the local bar. If you have a problem with lust, you don't want to expose your eyes to pornographic images. If you have a problem with covetousness, you don't want to be looking at your neighbor's boat, your neighbor's pool, your neighbor's car, or your neighbor's wife. If you have a problem with lying, you don't want to be making up stories that aren't true. If you have a problem with greed, you don't want to hit the lottery or get rich because you'll probably end up killing yourself. Beloved, Paul is simply saying that you and I need to avoid anything and everything that would cause us to sin. It's not rocket science. Use your brain, Christian. Stay alert. Use discretion, people. Don't make the same mistakes you made before you met Jesus Christ. Sometimes I wonder, where is the spiritual discernment in God's people today? Christians fall for almost anything that comes down the pike. I had one woman in our mission church in Colorado actually told me. She said, "Pastor, I took my three kids to the theater last night to see the Harry Potter movie." I said, "You what?" Folks, listen to me. She thought it was wonderful. When I tried to tell her it's demonic and full of witchcraft and demons, she got mad. Hello? Go with me to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians, just after 2 Corinth. Galatians chapter 5. Don't be taking your kids to Harry Potter movies. In Galatians, where's the discernment? Where's the Holy Spirit in the lives of God's people? Galatians chapter 5. Say, "Pastor, you're a little riled up today." Yes, because we need to awake out of our sleep. High time, church. Galatians chapter 5. Look at verse 16. Critical importance here. "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Time out, church, before we continue. Paul gives you the key to not making provision for the flesh. It's the first part of verse 16. Walking in the Spirit. When you're walking in the Spirit, you're being led and controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. He is not going to lead you into provision for the flesh. That's another spirit. Look at it. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary, opposite the one to the other, opposing one another, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Paul says, you can't do the things you used to do. Why, Paul? Because you're saved. You belong to God. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. Which are these? Oh, what a dirty laundry list. The first four are sexual, by the way. Wonder why. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I've told you in time past, that they which do such things shall lose their salvation. Is that what it says? Nope. Wrong version. They which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God, the millennial kingdom. Christian, you can go on in your sin, but you will not have a place of service in the millennium. I'm here to tell you. But look at verse 22. Here's the good news. I love how Paul always gives you the bad news before he gives you the good news. Open up that wound, then give some healing balm of Gilead to it. Verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. He says you can't get enough of the fruit of the Spirit. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Beloved, Paul is saying clearly here that the key to not making provision for your filthy flesh is walking in the Spirit. I cannot repeat that enough, church. Romans chapter 13, back to our passage. Back to our passage. Look at verse 11. We'll finish up here. Verse 11. And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Folks, in closing, I want to tell you something. When Paul says in verse 14, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul also said in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11 through 18, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, who is your enemy. Listen to me. Every piece, all seven parts of the armor of God found in Ephesians chapter 6, all seven parts are Jesus Christ. You know what Paul's saying here? Put you on the Lord Jesus Christ. He's saying put on the whole armor of God. Jesus Christ is the author and finisher of my shield of faith. Jesus Christ is the one who gives me assurance in the helmet of salvation. I know that I know that I know I'm saved. Jesus Christ is the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. Jesus Christ is the gospel of peace that my shoes are girded with. Folks, Jesus Christ is every piece of that armor. So just put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, folks, and awake out of sleep. Oh, my message today is the wake-up call. Now, what about you? What about you, child of God? Are you awake spiritually? Are you doing the will of God? Are you actively involved and engaged in winning souls to Jesus Christ? Because if you're not, you need to receive the wake-up call. Father in heaven, how we thank you today for the message from the Apostle Paul by the Holy Ghost in the Word of God here. Thank you, Lord, that I believe with all my heart you're using this message, Holy Spirit, right now. As I speak these words, you are awakening your people around this world. You are awakening them out of that spiritual slumber, that sleep that the devil's got them in. You are raising them up, a mighty army, as in Ezekiel chapter 37, the dead bones live, and they stand upright, and they march according to the Lord's commands. Father, I pray that you would use this message for your honor and glory. And Lord, help us right here at KJV Bible Baptist Church in Manchester, New Hampshire, USA, to awaken to the call of Jesus Christ. Lord, you've got a great job for us to accomplish, a great commission to be fulfilled. And oh God, we can do nothing without thee. We need thy Holy Spirit. We need thy light. We need thy grace, O God. We need thy strength to carry out the light of the gospel to the ends of the earth. I pray, dear Lord, for the glorification of the Son of God today. Through Jesus Christ we pray, and the people said, amen. Amen. Folks, let's grab our hymnals at this time. We will close within hymn. And I'd ask you to stand with me and open up to hymn 130. Offering plate is there if you need it. Hymn 130. I am so thankful that there is still power in the blood. And we're going to sing the first, second, and fourth. We'll stand for a time of invitation. Hymn 130. Yes, indeed. Thank you, Lord.
Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would your evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. Yes, there is. There is power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be free from your passionate pride? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Cleansing for Calvary's side. There's wonderful power in his blood.
Yes, there is.
There is power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb on the fourth. Would you do service for Jesus, your King? There's power in the blood. Power in the blood. Would you live daily his praises to sing? His wonderful power in his blood.
Yes.
There is power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Woohoo! Oh, praise the Lord. Folks, great singing today, and I tell you what, I thought my granddaughter there, 3 weeks old, was going to come forward at that invitation. Now she's just all excited, smiling away, so I can see she wants to sing for Jesus, amen? Oh, what a blessing. God's been so good to us, church, and let us return and reciprocate that unconditional love. How? By serving him, by bringing others to him. He that winneth souls is wise. It's a tree of life, bearing all manner of fruit. That could be black fruit, that could be Chinese fruit, that could be Australian fruit, it could be... yes, dear sister, praise the Lord. Puerto Rican fruit too, she said. Well, glory to God, folks. So thankful for your presence today. And tell somebody this week, listen to this Sunday's message. And Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for this time together in your house, O God. We thank you for drawing us closer together, but more importantly, drawing us closer to thee. Lord, thank you for reminding us not to fall into that spiritual sleep, that slumber, that lethargy that we're seeing invade Christendom today. Lord, people are just going through the motions. Lord, people are just playing church today. People are just playing games. They're putting yoga classes in the churches, Lord, the New Age movement and the like. There's the emergent church with its satanic doctrine. Lord, we just thank you for the truth, the Word of God, the King James Bible. Lord, thank you that we cannot be deceived because of the Word of God and the Spirit of truth. We thank you for it, Lord, and help us to be awake, alert, and active in your harvest field. Through Jesus Christ we pray, and the people say, amen, amen, amen.